Hey, this is Kevin from News Rocky, bringing it to you live Monday through Friday from the Forward TV Network studio in downtown Norwich. Comes to you 4 p.m. every day on Monday through Friday. Guys, we're bringing it to you with our good friend today from the West Coast, Abe, the West Coast representative. Won't be silent. He's a TikTok star. He's got the history in the industry, the entertainment industry. We had a great conversation on our first interview with Abe, and we wanted to bring him back and get his perspective on some of the political issues going on in this great country, because Abe's got something to say. So guys, we'll be back in the ring in a moment with Abe from the West Coast. And here we are. Welcome back, guys. And we have Abe, our good friend, who is... Abe, come on the screen. Get Abe on here with us. And Abe, I want to call you Gherkin. Is that all right?
No.
What is it?
It's Gherko.
I know, but I want to call you Gherkin. I don't know why.
Because that's a pickle, and you're like a fourth grader.
Get your camera good so I see your whole face and head.
Wait, where am I?
So we want to see all of Abe. We don't want to see just a little of you.
Well, I'm, you know, lucky for you, I'm like not wearing pants.
Well, isn't that just exciting? As a heterosexual male, you just got me wound up. Thank you very much, my friend.
Actually, that's the thing, that one of the best lines, comedy jokes of the season since COVID, was when Bill Maher said, "Remember pants."
Exactly right. Who was the news reporter, or not the news guy? Somebody, yeah, maybe it was, that got caught with his pants. No, he was masturbating, right? The guy was on the Zoom call. Do you remember that?
Yes, hilarious.
He got thrown out of
in the New Yorker, wasn't it?
Was it maybe the New York? Yeah, maybe one of those magazines or whatever. But I remember hearing about that over the summer, and you're thinking, how can anyone do that? And then you've seen story after story of people having similar things. Did you have anything happen to you on a Zoom where you were caught maybe, you know, doing something a little wrong?
You know what? No, because by the time, I mean, I've not been busy enough to not like be prepared. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm like one of these people that go from Zoom to Zoom to Zoom, because yeah. I'm not in corporate America.
Yep. And sure, you're busy, guys. So, Abe, do me a favor, just so we introduce you again. And again, you're from the West Coast. You're out there in California, originally from New York. You talked about that the first show. You talked about your upbringing, your heritage, your upbringing with your family, your Jewish religion, and also your feelings about the current situation and the political sort of climate in the country. But tell people about Won't Be Silent. Let's get them sort of re-educated on that so they understand your cause.
Okay. So Won't Be Silent is based on a piece of music that was uncovered, that was written as a song of resistance to the Nazis in a concentration camp, that when the person who wrote it died, was killed, actually brutally murdered hours before the liberation. The song, of course, along with him, became just one of the, you know, many anonymous details and people. The 6 million anonymous Jews was one of the he became, and the music just went away. But coincidentally, one of the survivors went and said, this piece of music was something that I felt was my mantra, that they, you know, they attributed it to what kept them, you know, alive, which may be a little sort of dramatic. But so just the fact that this piece of music was exhumed from the ashes of the Holocaust 70 years after it was written, that also just happens to be my uncle who wrote it, I figured this is one of these serendipitous moments where you get a chance to give somebody a name and a face, you know, tell one more story from the Holocaust. But, you know, more than anything else, what's universal about this story, outside of music being universal, is that we all wonder what our legacy is. You know, like, who gets a legacy? Like, what do you have to do to leave something behind on earth? And that was why I was really committed to making something out of this piece of music. And it's been a film that I've been working on for a couple of years. We get different artists and musicians to interpret this piece of music. And it's just the journey out of the ashes to where it will continue to flourish. I mean, sadly, COVID had me, you know, stop in my tracks, because we were really filming a lot and doing a lot and recording. And so, yeah, so now that we're getting the near end of COVID, hopefully we're starting to revisit what we can do and raise some money for, you know, production. And that's where we are. But it's an awesome project. Check out the website, wontbesilent.com. And there's great little outtakes from the film on the website, actually. But also be sure to subscribe to Won't Be Silent YouTube channel.
Very good. Very good. And we'll keep promoting that for you and helping you share that story. We appreciate it. We're going to jump in because the last time we got in here, it was more of an introduction, sort of a sit down and kind of get to know each other. And we'll continue to do that. But we agreed, let's do a little sparring here because we definitely have some difference of opinions. Certainly on the topics of the political scene here in this country. Let's get right into this. I have a couple questions and I hope that they're in order. I want to ask you in regards to the most recent bills, or at least the achievements of Joe Biden, is he's signing off these executive orders like there's no tomorrow. Some people think it's a great thing, and certainly every president has the right. He signed something in regards to transgender athletes in sports. And I want to get right into that because we have had a couple shows. This is a very serious issue for the women of this country. I think this, to me, and we'll get into this after I hear your opinion, is this is a slap in the face of young women who train each and every day for college scholarships or to compete in their prospective sports. What do you think about transgender athletes competing, especially men who identify against women?
I mean, look, it is a definite sensitive topic. I fully support transgender rights. I think that every case is unique, though. I think you can't generalize a whole category of people into, you know, you this is not a norm, so you can't be part of what the culture, and in this case, the sports world is, you know, offering. So I think it's a very individual situation. You know, if the, you know, how many cases are there really that we don't hear about, unless you might know, of situations where the boy who, you know, speaks that he's a woman, you know, that he's like 6'5" and the kids in the class are like half the size. Like, really, what is the situation outside of people's resistance to the idea of it?
I think Abe, the concept of what I bring up and by the way, here in Connecticut, there is ongoing court cases with some young women who have brought a case against the school system, and here in Connecticut, the legal process to actually contest against this law. Now, listen, I want to be, for the record, I am an open individual who loves and supports everybody. I have no issues right with anyone across the board. I'm very open about that. But I do think there's a major difference. If we want to apply science alone, you're a physically, robust male, right? You're 6 foot something, or at least now if you were wanting to compete against a female at your equal age and size, or rather equal age, and you wanted to compete in a wrestling match, do you think you could handle wrestling a woman today if you identified as a woman?
Okay, but that's the point. The point is what each individual situation is different. Is there a 6'5" wrestler that's going against a 5'2" female wrestler? You know what I mean? That's mm-hmm. transgender. You know what I mean? It's like, if they're in the same, but yeah, I think you're more concerned about high school sports.
Oh, definitely, right? Scholastic. I'm not, you know what, when you get, listen, there's an MMA fighter right now, and Joe Rogan's come out strongly 7 years ago, really opposing this MMA fighter. He's been allowed, actually, as a transgender fighter, to compete against women, has actually hurt and almost killed one or two by sustaining some serious injury, has recently had a fight, and it's very well noted. Look, listen, two professional fighters get into a ring, and if I know that one has been training, she's a female, and she accepts that bout, well, that's on her, right? That's, to me, I don't agree with it, but that's on her. When you talk about high school sports and college sports, there is such a competitive edge here to get scholarships. And I think, as a father of a daughter, I don't want to see my daughter, now she's older, 21, and she's not in the situation, but I would still fight for all women. Because I think women are the ones that are actually the ones that are denied everything still in this country. And here it is another example. Like, a man comes along and says, let's say, for example, Abe, that they're just playing the game. Maybe they're like, you know, I know I can get a scholarship if I just put some curlers in my hair. I mean, that's not the way to do this.
I know, but somebody, that's where I feel that there's the disconnect, because that's not what's going to happen. If someone is committed to being transgender, then their whole emotional and physical world, even though maybe they're taller, but they've entered a different emotional space. They're not thinking like, oh, I'm a guy trying to get away on this with these women so that I could excel. You know what I mean?
How many men live a life of a lie in a sense that they feel like they can't be open about their sexuality? I'm sure there's lots of women. It could be feasible that some women, men could choose this pathway. And I'm not arguing that that's probably more unlikely than not. I guess the question is, so you're okay with women or male athletes who identify as women in the scholastic area to compete against sports of other women?
I think that transgender rights are important for people that have made such an intense decision and commitment, life choice, that if athletics is part of their expression, then they should be able to do that and compete in the universe that they feel that they've connected to.
You don't think there should be transgendered sports?
If there's the imbalance that you're talking about where someone's like twice the size and the weight or whatever,
yep.
I mean, it's the same thing as like if all guys on a football team.
Right.
The tight end was, you know, what's that big, the one that's like the size of a refrigerator goes barreling, you know what I mean? Yeah. Why is that fair? You know what
well,
I'm
that's,
saying?
Well, that's,
if
I agree.
Talking about size and strength, then you have to level the playing field for, you know, same sex too.
Well, there is a scientific proof that males are more in some ways designed. Now, listen, there's lots of women that can knock me out, can shoot baskets better than me, can run fast. It's just, you know, I get it all day. But it's a fair question, and I respect your position. I do then qualify it like this. I think that there needs to be more emphasis on making sure that there is an equal, sort of decision, as you said, on each one of these cases. I feel, though, that the women who train, so, you know, from 5 years to 5 years old up till 18 to get into a college scholarship situation, they're going to be denied in some cases, because as this law passes through the nation, and this recommendation, by the way, of Joe Biden is not an actual law, but it's a recommendation for states to adopt. I just fear where this is going. That's my point.
You know, it's the same. There's very little difference between making a recommendation to the states to interpret how it works for their state with abortion. I mean, you can really say that everyone has to kind of adopt what's good, you know, especially since this new Supreme Court's about to probably change the whole Roe v. Wade thing. But I just think that I think it's a new territory. Mm-hmm. And I think that we have to, rather than already have walls up mm-hmm. to this new phase of our culture. I mean, this is a whole, you know, 20 years ago, this wouldn't even be a freaking conversation.
No, it wouldn't. But you know what? 20 years ago, we also had people that weren't able to be who they wanted to be. And I'm the first one to tell you, I think that's the biggest opportunity in this whole conversation. People need to live their lives. They need to be their selves. Now, I'm a conservative Republican, but I could care not if you, like I've said before, you can piss in a dress standing up and piss in a pair of pants sitting down. I don't care what you do. It's not my business. I personally want everyone to be happy. I just think this infringes upon those young women who scientifically are women when they compete against males in the same sports.
You know what? It's going to be, I think we'd have to come back 5 years to now to have this conversation.
Well, we'll circle back. How's that? Hey, we'll do what our favorite press secretary says now. We'll circle back.
Yeah, because if you're going to bring up that point, you yep. can also bring up the fact when Jackie Robinson was able to get into baseball, when blacks were allowed to be part of, you know, a huge part of, you know, American sports, and they're fitter and, you know what I mean, stronger. And that was, you know, it's the same thing. I mean, it boils down to giving a human being their rights to express themselves. And if it happens to be sports.
You know what you just brought up, though? You know what you just brought up? You reminded me of Jimmy the Greek. Do you remember Jimmy the Greek?
I know the name. But
he was a sports analysis guy back in the in the 70s and 80s, and he was most infamous for, you can look him up, guys, the listeners of News Rocky, Jimmy the Greek. He got up and he talked about the black athlete being more prevalent as far as dominating sports. He talked about their genetic makeup. You basically just said that. Jimmy the Greek lost his job for saying that.
I'm saying that people are not 100%. There are people that are stronger, whether they're black or white.
Right.
I'm just saying that by saying transgenders are not allowed to do that, it's almost like the race. It's the same thing as racism.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
That's your opinion?
That's definitely. I mean, of course. Okay. I think that everyone has the right to express their interest. And if sports is your thing, then you do that. If it's an unfair advantage, then that's a unique situation. You look at that, but to have a blanket thing that all little girls are going to be like put out because this, you know, recommendation from the president comes out. I mean, I just think you can't resist our culture that's moving at a pace where a lot of people just have to catch up to see if it's going to work, if it's not going to work, but you have to like let it go through the hoops, I think.
Okay, well, you know what? We can agree to have a little bit of a different opinion on that one, but we can
I
also...
I think we should come back and see what kind of cases do get up in court.
Yeah, 100%.
Who's right, who's wrong? I don't think there's not enough history with this yet for us to come back and make that decision.
Very good. We'll come back to it, Abe. No issues with that.
And I'm going to just say one more thing about abortion. It's the same thing. You have this law about abortion, right? Meanwhile, when more Christians get abortions, and the law just, you know, it doesn't, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not level playing field when these laws happen, where the hypocrisy comes in.
I listen, there is hypocrites in every level of every lawmaking process, and every side of this argument or abortion, Roe versus Wade, can find a new debate and a new opportunity for someone to debate it based on whatever that circumstance is. And you know, I am a conservative who has been, I'm a pro-choice term limit abortionist. And what I mean by that, heartbeat to me means something. And so to that discussion, we'll save that for another day. I want to get into a conversation you've been very passionate about on your platform, and that has been your criticism of Congresswoman Green. You even did a post where you actually compared her to Omar and said, oh no, you're not. Oh, I think I'm almost kind of, kind of replaying your comments. The comparison to Green to Omar. Now, you have to admit, though, Abe, that there is somewhat of a comparison. Green, who was prior to being elected, came out and said some things that we all can agree QAnon and all this other nonsense stuff. She speaks to a base of the former president, Donald Trump. But we had Omar coming out and speaking out, just viciously, and I think viciously, early on in her political career, about those folks of your heritage. And how do you defend that?
First of all, I defend no one that's anti-Semitic. I think that when I looked at the two of them and what they stand for and their positions, look, both of them... Now, Ilhan will say she's not overtly anti-Semitic, but I trust that that's not true. I mean, I think that the fact that she's so anti-BDS is very anti-Semitic. People who put a blanket statement that no one should do business with Israel is anti-Semitic. That's right. You can't say that every Jew thinks that the Palestinians should be treated unfairly and minimized, and that's actually the opposite. And in Israel even, there's more people that do not support Bibi's position. It's just that, like in America, the conservatives end up staying in power, and that's where that comes from. Those Orthodox Jews are horrible. And to be honest, I can't stand them either. You know what I mean? The real, real, real far right Orthodox Jews to me are just equal to the
Is your family Orthodox Jew? Is your family, are you an Orthodox Jew upbringing?
Yeah, I had a mildly Orthodox and, ran the other way the minute I could.
Okay,
But the thing is, the reason why I think you can't put them in the same category is because Ilhan does not believe, and Green still does, in these really crazy theories.
But she came up and denounced these things in on the House floor.
She did it or else, but she's still there.
But she still said it. She still said it.
She still said it, but... And Ilhan Omar has said just not as many crazy things. You can't, you're not comparing apples to apples. That's why I said, oh, no. You can replace one anti-Semite with another.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Because a lot of what, let's just do something as simple as gun rights.
Mm-hmm.
You might be, I am not saying that the Second Amendment should be abolished. But if you don't think, anyone that can look at me and say that we should not update our laws, and for safety purposes and background checks, anyone who doesn't think that that should happen really needs to fucking get a lobotomized, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, listen, I'm not going to argue that we need to qualify our mental health background checks.
I'm telling the audience.
Right, no, I get it. And mental health background checks are important there. I agree with you. I'm agreeing with that.
But she doesn't want any of that. She doesn't want anything changed.
Well, I think
that's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Because just because the kids haven't been in school this year... When they get back, the shooting's going to start. This, COVID has probably spawned a whole new level of crazies.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
Kids that have been in their basements or with their parents and not, you know, like who knows what's going to happen?
Drug addiction is up and mental health is a serious issue right now under this COVID lockdown. I agree with you. But let me ask the question, though, Abe.
And also, and crime is up in the city. I mean, look.
Yes, it is. It is. In most of the Democratic-run control cities in this country, crime is off the chart. But let me ask you in regards to the comparison to Green and Omar. When Green was getting called out, and actually Green was ripped of every one of her committees, do you think that was fair?
She had no business being on the education committee.
Because of why? Because of why?
Because here's the deal. When people denounce things that they say... doesn't mean that it's still not true. I mean, just because I say one thing doesn't mean that she in her heart is a scary human being. And no, you know, far right Christian fundamentalists, which is what she is, are a lot of people that are just a lot. You know what I mean?
But they're your neighbors. They're your fellow Americans, Abe. I mean, they're not going away. These people are here to stay, just like you are. So how do we work that through? How do we do that? I guess we just take them off their committees.
I think not them off their committees, her off education. Let her find something else where she could actually grow and benefit from. But for her to try to instill into the education. Listen, we had Betsy DeVos. Our education system does not need anybody that far right of center in terms of our education system. As it is, our school systems suck, right? So let's just get people who are real educators. She just graduated friggin' high school.
Okay.
I mean, come on.
All right.
What is she? Why should she? Because she's voted. Look, it just shows you.
I mean, AOC must be in the third grade still then, right? If she just graduated, Green graduated high school, then AOC must be in the third grade. But listen, I wanted
AOC
to
ask. AOC is a college graduate.
Oh, I know. She's intellectually advanced. I know that. And we hear about it all the time when she speaks. But I can tell you that with regards to Green, I don't disagree that she brought this attention onto herself, right? She was very particular about how she campaigned. And I think that might be the edge. But I guess what we're trying to get at least I am, Abe, and respecting your opinion, you put out a good comparison to Omar and Green. You defended actually in a situation where Omar can be criticized for X, Y, and Z, but you also gave her a pass. And then you chose to, and this is not just quoting you, this whole systemic sort of movement has chosen to cancel culture Green because she has a different perspective than that of the other side and having different opinions. I just don't understand where that's justified in taking her off her committees.
Okay, first of all, I happened to, 10 minutes before this, I posted a thing about cancel culture and Marjorie's book.
Get into it, brother. I want